This tune, All the Things You Are, who's played it before? Anyone? It's taught a lot in jazz. I'll bet you there's no university. I'll bet you that there's no way I could prove this or, you know, whatever, so I'm not worried about losing the bet, but I'll bet you that there's no single university in the entire country, if not the world, that has a jazz program that hasn't taught this song. So it's almost impossible to go to a clinic or some kind of jazz thing for any length of time and not run across this song. And there's many reasons for it. One, it's beautiful. Two, it's logical. Three, it's a lot of fun to play over. Right? And the title of today's session is How to Analyze Tunes. Okay? We've done it a little bit in previous examples with Satin Doll and things. But this is a tune where if you don't analyze the tune, all you see is this crazy pile of chords. We're going to play through it first and then discuss it. So I'm going to pause this. So we're going to analyze this tune starting from the head at F minor, right? The first line, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to try and lead you there. It's very formulaic in jazz, all right? Everyone knows what a harmonized scale is, right? Like, let's just review. Let me back up a minute.
Different from some other kind of scale.
Like, what is a harmonized scale?
I don't know.
What's the definition of it? Doug, you know. Or just, you know, what is it to us? How do we use it? Why should we bother about it?
Well, you're playing like a major scale with them adding the 3 and the 5 to all the consecutive.
Yes, correct. And so what does that mean in practice? Like, can you play us one?
Sure. Oops.
You're on the right track. He's in the key of A here. Yeah, do it again. You can do it. Take your time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oops. Oh, that would be
mine. 6.
Seven, one.
Okay. Do they call them chord scales?
I suppose you could. Yeah, I call them the harmonized scale.
Okay, I know a little more of what we're talking about.
Okay, good. So you knew them, you just didn't know them by what I was calling.
Yeah. Major, minor, minor, okay. major, minor, diminished.
Okay. Yeah. So when you take a scale, scale, as Doug said, you're putting call the first note 1, he was playing it in the key of A, so A is 1. You take the 3rd and 5th of that, the key of A, you have to know your music theory a little. Let's back up even further out, and then we'll zoom back in into All the Things You Are for a minute. I should let the people who took the music theory class say it instead of me. The key of A has how many sharps or flats?
3 sharps.
She said 3 sharps. How do you know? From piano. How do you know? You guys, it's been
Father Chuck goes down and.
Yeah, so based on it's. We'll explain that some other day. Don't feel overwhelmed. This is not the purpose of this.
Funky chicken's good now.
It's where it is on the circle of fifths. You don't have to know that now. What you do have to know is how to construct the scale. Do you know how the scale is constructed? We're backing out even further now. Like, how is a major scale constructed? I'm looking at you because you made a face. Like, if you play A, and this is Do, and you want to play Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, on the bass,
yeah.
Where's Ray? You know? He's down the street, he owes me money, you little bastard.
It's the 2, Ray is the 2.
Yeah, so if A is open, do you know this? If A is open, or 1 is your open, what do you call that, the 3rd string in bass?
Yeah, I guess, yeah,
sure. Open 3rd string, and where's 2, where's the 2nd note? Yeah, so you just went up a whole step. And then what's the rest of it? Yeah, there's another hole. Yeah. Half.
It's whatever
hole,
your ear says it is.
Hole, half. Good. So did you get like, that?
Like
she just did whole, half, whole, whole. Yes, this is what you've been working on. I'm going to give you a trick.
Two and a half, 3.
I'm going to give you a shortcut to memorizing that. You just memorize. You do have to memorize this or else it don't work. Right? Shortcuts are only good if you right know how to use them. Between 3 and 4 and 7 and 8 are the half steps. Everything else is a whole step.
Okay.
Right, when you do whole, half. You don't really have to, you're like, wait, whole, and then, you know, your coffee spills or whatever, and you're like, wait, was I just on two wholes and a half, or you just count by numbers. So everyone should be able to do this, and you sing along with us on one string, the fifth string for guitarists and third string for bass players. On one string, we're going to play a major scale, and just count the numbers. And between 3 and 4 and 7 and 8, you do one fret, and on the other, or a whole step, and the rest you do... Between 3 and 4 and 7 and 8, you do a half step, on the rest you do a whole step. Here we go.
Well, the players
I suppose we'll do it like... Din. So 2, 3, go. Counting by numbers, if this is 8, now I know Don yelled it out. We're gonna do it again without Don yelling out this time.
I thought that's what I wanted to do.
This is good, you did it right. But now yell out the numbers instead of the intervals between. Just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Between 3 and 4 and 7 and 8 are the one fret. Right? So, Don, go ahead. Here we go. 3, 4.
1,
2, 3, 4.
Why is that easier than doing whole, half? I'll show you why right now, because we're going to go backwards. Because now you got to do whole, half backwards. I don't think I could do that, you know, unless I had three martinis or something. anyway, good thing I don't drink. We're going to go backwards. You're already on 8. Does everyone know why 8 equals 1?
Yeah.
Because of the word octave, right? So this is 1, and then right behind it is what?
7,
you got it. So we got, so call it out as we go, Don, ready?
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
What the hell does this have to do with all the things you are? Well, we'll get there. If we took the 1, 3, and 5 of that scale, we skip every other note, and just played 1, 3, and 5 only on that one string, what would it sound like? Just on one string. Hear it, everyone. The 1, 3, and 5 of that key.
Oh, the 1, 3, and 5 of F.
George Jensen.
Do me soul. Open A
string. What's that?
Oh,
do me
soul.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you said Jensen's
in. Yeah, I know.
I'm trying.
It's alright.
It is George. Nope.
I'm distracting everyone. Alright, skip the flapper. Alright. We're putting, so when you put all three of those together, you got that. That's not very nice for guitar. It's much easier to rearrange the notes and just play that. We know it as an A chord, but that's the science behind it. Now, Doug went one step further and did every chord like that. So instead of 1, 3, 5, well, instead of 1, he had 1, 3, 5. Instead of 2, he had 2, 4, and 6. Instead of 3, he had 3, 5, and 7, etc. Right? And that came out to major, minor, major, minor, minor, major, major, minor, diminished, major. If you don't know that, then you should take the music theory class after this in another couple months. But that's a story for another day. Mitch knows all this. Dude, you just pick his brain a little bit. Why not?
Oh, no, I just was talking to myself. I said, because I love learning things. No, I don't. I only like knowing things.
Oh, that's funny.
I hate the learning
like
process.
Like knowing things, not learning things, that's funny. That's common. It's very common. Everything is easy once you know it. It's knowing
learning
it.
Learning is gross.
All right, so where were we? Once you memorize the Roman numerals and their functions, right? The Roman numeral 1 is, you say major, minor, or diminished. Tell me. 1.
Major.
2.
Minor.
3.
Minor.
4.
Major.
5.
Major.
6.
Minor.
And 7.
Half diminished.
Yeah, it's half diminished if you do the 7. In jazz, if you harmonize that out to the 7th degree, it'd be major 7, minor 7, minor 7, major 7, the dominant, minor 7, and then half diminished. Right? If you don't know all this, write it out for yourself. I can give you something to help you with that process. Going back, then your next step is to put it in the circle of fifths. The key of A flat, okay? You have, I gotta do it backwards. Right, so I'm turning around. You got C, And then you got, this way you got Father Chuck goes down and enters battle. If you don't know this, we'll talk about it someday. And on the other side, you got Bead. B flat, E flat, A flat, B flat. That's your handy way of, you ever heard this? Of memorizing the circle of fifths.
I mean, I know this, but I've never heard those.
Right.
Father Chuck.
You talk about it. our militant priest friend. But you had a different one, right?
I made one of funky chickens get down around every barnyard.
Yes, and if you remember that C is no sharps or flats, then if I say what key has four sharps, right?
So that's
you start at chicken,
chicken
to zero.
Chicken.
You actually don't start until get, right? Because that's the first sharp.
Oh, okay. Get down around every, so that E.
There you go. Four sharps is the key of E. That's how you do that. This is why these mnemonics are helpful. What about on the flat side? You got F is at 11 o'clock, and then B flat, E flat, F flat, D flat. So what is the key with four flats? Hillary and Doug, you should know this.
So F is
B, E, A.
What is it?
F is one flat.
E flat.
A flat, got it. All right, we'll talk about that. Now, putting those two things together, I know this is going a little fast, right? And some of you may need to do some homework before this lesson really can solidify, and that's okay. You'll have the recording of this. If you have to go backwards before you can go forwards, that's okay. It's not that hard. But now, think of it this way. Even if you're slightly lost during the rest of the analysis, it'll give you an incentive to and an immediate application to learn not just music theory for its own sake. The only reason to learn music theory, there's two reasons. For improv and songwriting, you know, and maybe understanding while you're reading, reading is one, but you could learn how to read without music theory. You could just learn how to read sort of mechanically, you know. Like, suppose you were an expert reader and you just could see instantly that, you know, every time it's an A, B, E or D, you flat the note. You could read this without knowing it's in the E flat, I suppose. But mostly it's songwriting and improv, right? So here we are in jazz, and we're going to put both things together. Hillary knew that it was four flats in the key of A flat, and Doug knew the harmonized scale. And now put it all together. I want to hear you say to me or spell to me the chords in the key of A flat. So I'm going to give you a big hint. A flat is the one, the first note, right? What is the quality of the first note? Major, minor?
Major.
And what kind of major out to the seventh? Like, you know, if you were harmonizing it out to the seventh, then it would be called a what?
Speaking ancient Greek. Is that the dominant?
I mean, if instead of A flat major, which is just triads, if you're harmonizing it out to the seventh degree, 1, 3, 5, and 7, now what's the name of the chord?
A flat major 7.
Yeah. So Melanie, write this down. A flat major 7 is 1. Put a Roman numeral 1, then put A flat major 7. You need a sheet or something to write on?
Yeah.
There you go. There's some plastic things underneath there to write
on. I got one of those.
So what are you saying, Melanie?
I want to hear it from my instructor, please. You're not the teacher.
Yep, you're right. Who am not?
Who else needs to write it? Who else needs to write it?
Don't mansplain.
Do you need to write it? A flat major 7.
The first course, so I have some of these.
A flat major 7 is the one, right? What's 2?
So now we have.
At least, you know, someone called, she said it, B flat. Okay, good, we got the root. And what's the quality? Major, minor, 7? Don, you know this?
Yes.
What is it? For the 2 chord of A flat. We're in the key of A flat. So far we got A flat major 7 equals 1. What's 2?
It's B flat minor 7.
Minor 7, right. So we're going to write B flat minor 7, Melanie, okay? Mitch, you could help her, right? You know what I'm going for.
Yeah.
Do you know this? Do you know what the next chord is?
The next chord would be C major 7.
He's right on the C part. What's he missing, guys?
Minor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's major, minor. Okay,
yep.
Gotcha. So minor 7.
Another handy way to memorize what's minor and what's major is you hear all about 1-4-5 all the time. Those are the three major chords. Everything else is minor or some derivation thereof. So we got 3 equals C minor 7. Who's next? Louise?
Well, we have to have a D major 7th, I suppose. But
we could have that, except that there's 4 flats in the key of A flat, and you wrote this out, so what's your 4th note of the key of A flat? How timely is that you have this ready?
Yes, that's good.
You thought it was all this.
D flat.
D flat, correct. And so you had the quality, which was?
Major.
Yep, so put down D flat major 7 for the 4. And then as we're going through, you guys, I see the guitarist trying to play them. Like Don, for example, you should be going. Right, can you do that as we go along? Like go back to, you know, A flat major 7, everybody play it. Play your jazz voicings. And then B flat minor 7. Good job, bud. C minor. And you can even sing, you know. And then the 4 chord she just said is D flat major 7. You ever sing harmonized scales? This is something you can work on. It's way fun for voice.
Yeah.
You know, you do, I'm digressing a sec, but. You know?
Otherwise, how will I know what the notes are supposed to be?
You could kind of hear it though, right? And then you go backwards. You know, that's just 1-3-5. There's many different patterns. You could do 1-3-5-8-5-3-1. And then on the next note, instead of thinking 2, I'm just going to think 1-3-5-8-5-3-1. I just prefer to do la 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 because it's less. Anyway, digressing. But what's the next chord? Who hasn't gone yet? Doug? We're up to the 5 chord of the key of A flat.
It's going to be the E flat major.
Oh, dude, he loses points for his D. All right. Yeah, E flat 7. You guys with me? The 5 is E flat 7. Let's just go around, actually. We've been going around. So Hillary's next. What's the 6th chord?
F minor 7.
Yep. You guys with us? F minor 7. And then back to down the last degree, the 7th degree.
Double flat, D double flat, and something else.
He's on the right track. We'll give him partial credit. It's definitely G, and it's a minor 7, flat 5, half diminished. So you'd write G, little M, 7, then flat 5, little B, 5. How you play it on guitar is, you did that last week a little bit. You do like, it's like a B flat minor, and then you... minor bar chord, and then you put G under it, and then switch the fingering however you like. As a matter of fact, last week we did just down a half step from there. We were on F sharp, now we're on G, just that.
Oh, I see.
All right, so Melanie, please read us back the entire list, and everybody, as she says them, we're gonna play them. You're gonna do 1-3-5, right?
A flat major 7. B flat minor 7. Minor 7.
Can you hear that? Like what Don's playing basically.
D flat major 7.
Down.
E flat major 7.
E flat 7, that is.
E flat 7, sorry. Okay. I shouldn't read down the majors.
Good Don.
F minor 7.
Yep.
G minor 7, flat 5.
Reading that, Melanie. Can you go home?
At least I can read.
When you go home, don't feel bad on this. When you go home, are you going to be able to play some of the arpeggios? Like, can you play 1-3-5 in a major for the A flat? Like, go home and play through some of these. The rest of the session is going to be a little. It's assuming that you know this already. For the rest of you, you kind of know this. You all kind of do, but you've never put it to use. And that's the only purpose of this session. Once you do the work, you'll know why you're doing it and be able to put it to use right away. That's a lot cooler than just trying to learn some random music theory because you think you might need it. Like, you're getting a huge amount of direction right now. So don't feel overwhelmed. By the way, let me just reiterate. The purpose of the session is for you to realize the potency of knowing your harmonized scales. You do not have to know. I'm not expecting you to know them on any given tune overnight. But as you use them more, every new tune you look at, you will assess a little quicker than the one before. This is all I'm saying. You didn't learn to read overnight when you were a little kid, you know, but every little book got it a little easier than C Spot Run. And nowadays, I can pretty much, you know, think how much fun it's gonna be, or how much confidence it gives you in, that instead of seeing a pile of chords, I see a working system underneath, right? And it's all from Roman numerals, and we're gonna do that tonight, right? So, having done what we just did, Melanie, how do you classify this first four chords of this? You recognize them? And if so, what are their Roman numerals?
Oh.
Starting at the melody, not the intro, where it says head.
Where'd you write some things down? The chords that you wrote down?
Yeah, the ones
I
you
was
just...
going to try to just figure it out.
No, don't figure it out. Just use what you
don't
just did.
Don't figure it out? Oh, okay.
Use what you just wrote.
So that is... That's not where I wrote it. It goes 6, 2, 5, and 1.
Let's borrow this.
That's cool.
You got this. You're gonna remember it. You're gonna just know it. Okay, go. 6-2-5-1. Is she right? Of course she is. And then what? Anyone else? What's the next chord?
4.
Yeah. Now the next chord after that is out the key. Right? The G7. It's outside the key. If that had only been one chord and it went back to A flat, I would have addressed it, but it's not. The both the next chords are completely out of the key, right? So.
Oh, okay. So okay. You wouldn't call it a 7-3.
So you could start trying, but always in analyzing, you take the path of least resistance. So if it gets too sticky, like okay, 7 dominant to a 3 major, blah blah blah. So we'll leave that at B for a minute. I'm gonna skip this to G7 and the C major. Let's go to the next system: the C minor, F minor, B flat and E flat. Would anyone like to attempt to tell me what that is? Off the cuff.
3-6-2.
It's not a minor 7. A 2 would be a
that different
minor
this
7.
One?
That's correct.
So would that be considered outside the
interesting question. Did anyone, everyone, this is a very interesting, this is exactly the question you should be raising. So, the teacher is always happy about the, more happy about the question than he is about the answer, I think. She's saying that if it's in the key of A flat, when you get to that B flat 7, it's non-diatonic, because it should be a what kind of B flat?
It should be minor.
Good job, Louise.
I just noticed the difference in the one up above.
There you go.
Okay.
Do you guys understand that, Mitch and Don? Right? And so now it brings up the question, is this a temporary departure from the key, or is this like some other key, or is this a permanent departure?
Modulating.
Or it could be modulating. You know, and then so before we answer that question, we have to look at it in context. This is a big point. Harmony is always meant to be looked at in context of where it's going. If you had to define harmony, we're going back like 14 steps now, but if you had to define harmony, maybe you remember this from one of your training CDs. You know, what would be your, or for anyone, how would you attempt to define harmony? What the hell is harmony?
Different notes that sound good together?
That's a good way of saying it. But then doesn't a melody have different notes that sound good together? What's the difference between harmony and a melody?
Played at the same time.
Okay, but you can, yes, you're right. You're right. Actually, no, that's not true. How about this? If you sang, sing Happy Birthday.
Happy Birthday.
Well, let's figure out the key.
I don't know what key.
Do that key.
Happy Birthday to you.
All right, do it nice and slow so I can harmonize.
Happy Birthday to you. Happy Birthday to you.
Play any notes at the same time. So I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying that you gotta be careful. The definition is what I played supported her melody. So my definition, the non-textbook definition, is any notes that support a melody. What is the melody? The melody is the actual tune. You can have a tune without the melody. But if I said, well, here's my song, guys. Here's my new song. You ready? It goes like this. Never tell that was Happy Birthday. You'd never remember what the hell it was, and it's not a tune. It's just a bunch of notes that support the tune. Now you get the idea. All right, but the point of the story is, it's meant to be analyzed in context of where it's moving to. So it's the movement. I'd complete my definition by saying it's the movement of supporting notes to a melody. Does this make sense to everybody? So you always have to look in context. Why am I bringing this up? We don't know the answer to her question yet until let's look at the next chord, E flat major 7. Is it still in the key of A flat, or is it some new key?
It's different from the E flat above.
It sure is.
The B flat's a little different, and the E flat's a little different.
Yeah, it sure is.
But it's getting you to the A flat major 7.
It could be.
Then it's leaping into the same place.
It could be, but then above, in the very first line, you were in the key of A flat, and then you went to a 4 chord. So it didn't take you to D flat at all. That was just a chord added onto the tonic. All right, so I'm going to give you the answer. You ready? In the same way that line 1 was a 6-2-5-1 in the key of A flat, line 3 is a 6-2-5-1 in the key of E flat. And how would you know that? It's because if you spent more time with your harmonized scales, you will eventually know that. I encourage all of you to write them out if you haven't done so already. Write out all 12 harmonized scales. Dude, I call you all dude. Collectively dude, right? I mean, this is what happens when I hang out with my son too long. I start calling everyone dude. And hopefully, you know, I won't start using the word dingus, which is his other favorite word. I said, Max, what's going on? And he's like, mom's being a dingus. I was like,
So
you should all write. Let me just say this. I have a sheet on the harmonized scales, but I'm not giving it to you on purpose. I want you to write them out for homework, every single one. If you've never done it before, I want you to write C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C on the top of the page, right? And then under it, you know, next key, like D flat, E flat. You write the 8 notes of those 12 keys. And then you go back and plug in your formula.
Like this. That's how I
except write it
out?
Yeah, except write it across the page, and then you'll have all 12 keys on one page.
Okay.
Like, let me show you what I mean.
I understand what you mean better.
Let me show you with a blank page.
I have.
Thank you, Hillary. Let's see it. Let me pause this. You start using your harmonized scales a lot at each new tune. The reason we choose, not every tune is this crazy. If you look at Satindal, you guys were already familiar with 251s, and it was like, 251. A lot of tunes are like that. You know, part of the reason we teach this one, not because it's hard, but just because it's chock full of harmonic shit to talk about. Right? We really want to sink our teeth into it. Not every tune is going to be this sort of like all over the place. But recognizing C minor, F minor, B flat 7 to E flat major 7, and then A flat major 7, I just see that as a 6-2-5-1-4 progression. Just because. I just do. And a big tip-off is the dominant chord. B-flat 7 takes you to key of E-flat major 7. And then before that is its 2. I'm looking at everything backwards. I see the E-flat. I see the 5 of it. I see the 2 of that. And I see the 6. It's all 5s of each other. E-flat is the... B-flat is the 5 of E-flat. F is the 5 of B-flat. C is the 5 of F. So if you're looking at things in context, that's how you can sort of look at a whole line and just diagnose and assess what's happening, because you just see where it's going. All right, make sense? I know this is a bit much. And
it sounds less like ancient Greek to me.
All right. What about the before we get to the bridge, which is the A minor 7, not including the intro.
Yeah.
The 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line. Right. Before we get to the bridge, let's talk about what happened up on the second system where it goes G7, C major. I just gave you a major tip off when I said a dominant chord takes you to the root of a new key sometimes. So what happens there at G7, C major 7, right here?
Well, you said we were out of the key, but...
And what key would that be, if my theory...
Well, that was the A-flat that we were out of.
We were in the A-flat, and then when we got to G7 to C major, where did it go to?
I don't know where you are.
Right,
you talk about the bridge?
Went to C.
You're up there.
C.
Yeah.
You know, if she's right, then what would the formula be?
5-1.
To 5-1. It's a pretty simple harmonic analysis, right?
5-1 of what?
Of C.
4-1, obviously, okay.
And, you know, if one of the confirming details that you're right is that it's simple. It's a lot simpler than calling it a 7 dominant to a 3 major 7, for example. You just call it a new... You take the path of least resistance, and you call it the simplest thing you can, even if it means a key change. Right. Let me go further. Look, not including the intro from now on. Whenever I say a system, we're not including the intro. Look at fourth system, second and third bars. Anyone recognize a formula there?
What do you mean by a system?
The line.
Oh, okay.
Fourth line, second and third bars. So ready. Anyone notice a pattern? Like what is that?
It's a 2-5-1
He says it's a 2-5-1 of G. What do you guys think?
Oh, let's hit the flat five. Wait a second.
Here.
Oh, I noticed that we had a minor 7 flat 5.
I suppose that's tricky. I didn't mean to throw your curveball. Doug is right. It's a 2-5-1. It's just a slight quality change on the 2. Don't let the half diminished fool you.
It couldn't fool me. I don't know enough for it to fool me.
Okay. It's still a 2-5-1. It's just a quality change. In fact, I always forget that it's flat 5 when I'm playing it.
So it's of G major.
Alright, anyone... Now, I could be nice and just tell you the rest. Is everyone's brain hurting enough that you'd be grateful for that, or should I continue to make you think?
So we're going from A flat to C to... E-flat to...
She's on the right track. Yes. Yeah. All right, perfect. So she's doing it. Let's do it the way she said it. In the very top of the tune, next to the beginning of the where it says head, write A-flat in big letters with a circle around it. Right in the beginning. Yep. And you should have 6-2-5-1-4. Right?
Yep.
Then, right before the G7 in big letters, write C. And write 5-1. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And then right before the C minor 7, what are we going to write?
E flat.
What is it?
E flat.
Yep. Mitch, you with us?
Barely.
At least he's honest. How about you, Don?
Oops. With you.
All right. And he's you're going to write 6-2-5-1 in the key of E flat. And then, I'm sorry, 6-2-5-1-4. You can go to the 4 chord. So notice the symmetry there. It's one of the reasons this is a beautiful tune. All right, and then right before the A half diminished, you're going to write G. And then write 2-5-1. Continuing, I'm going to just tell you the rest, because I think you worked hard enough. E7 and 6, dominant. So the symbol for dominant in this system, you just put X. This comes from John Meehan's Tonal and Rhythmic Principles. He was the first one. Just a quick note on that. It's his name is Meehan. You do not need to buy his book. You can look through it here if you want. I'll pass it around, but he was the first one to take sort of like classical nomenclature of systematizing harmony and put it into jazz context. And his shorthand is like X for dominant, so that's what I use.
Still in G,
yeah. Because usually, and this is a million-dollar question, not for Doug or Hillary. If you're in the key of G, what normally is an E chord? What type of quality is it for Mitch and Don? If you're in the key of G, what, and it's some kind of E chord comes in, what is it usually? What quality? Yeah, just say it out loud.
E minor?
Yeah, minor. So in this case, it's an E dominant, E7. All right? It's not outside the key. Why? Because looking at it in context, it's just taking you to another 2-5 in G. So on line 5, right, 2-5-1.
It's another 2-5-1, yeah. Still G.
Yeah, still G, 2-5-1.
Mickey! Kitty, kitty!
He's moaning. Alright, we're done with that. I'm gonna help you out and go to line 6. We got a 2-5-1 there in the key of what?
Well,
it's
E major or something.
It sure is. So put a big E at the beginning of that line and put 2-5-1. Never mind that it's half diminished, it's the same trick that we used before.
I only know that because the 1 must be the key, and you told me.
Yeah, I told you, yeah. And then let's leave the C7 out for a minute. We're going to go back to third to last line. What do we got?
It's A flat.
Same as we had on the top. So put in 6-2-5-1-4. And then... let's skip to G flat for a minute. We're going to go right to the C minor at the second to last line, third bar. Everybody see where we are?
C minor 7.
What is C minor 7 to the key of A flat?
It's a 3 chord.
Good job. Louise is on fire tonight. All right? I want what she's having. 3, put a Roman numeral 3 over that. Skip the B diminished. And what's the last line? Mitch, any guesses?
B flat. I see the major 7th. Is that back in A flat?
It sure is, yep. And in that case, what would it be?
It would be 2-5-1.
Well done. And we'll talk about the turnaround chord.
And some change.
So far, I've deliberately left some shit out. The C7 on 4th to last line. The G flat 7 at the B diminished on the 2nd to last line. And the turnaround. We're going to address all those right now. Now, why did I leave certain chords out? Because it depends on their function. When you have weird chords, you have to look at where they're coming from and where they're going to really make sense out of them. Usually a chord is there for on purpose. This goes back to 9th grade English, when my teacher, who was great, but a real pain in the neck. Dude, I got to digress with the eel story. Come on, for a second. I saw my English teacher on the Long Island Railroad like 5-10 years after, you know, I had her. And she was a monstrous, really good teacher, but a real pain in the ass, like a lot of homework. And so I saw, and I can't even remember her name right this minute. I said, Miss So-and-so, I had you in 9th grade English. And I know you probably don't know who I am. You probably see hundreds of students, but I know I'll prove it to you because I know all about the eels on New Year's Eve. And she burst out laughing. And it was simply that she was, having this big party and they bought these mad expensive eels and they're getting ready for the party and everything. And they put the eels in the boiling water and all the eels immediately leaped out and went behind the stove and they never found them again.
Whoa.
So you can imagine like some kid coming up to you on the Long Island Railroad and reminding you of that and be like, yep, you took my class. Yeah.
That sounds like a Woody Allen movie or something.
Yeah. You guys ever have eel sushi?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
Unagi.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. I'm vegan, but I'll make an exception for eel and salmon sashimi. Did I just say eel or veal?
You said eel.
We heard eel.
All right, so getting back to whatever her name was, the eel lady. You know, she would say, now an author, this is a skilled author. So when you read, you know, a big paragraph in between the action scenes. We, you know, we just want to get to the damn action. We're movie generation people, you know. But that paragraph is very telling, and every single word of it goes into, was on purpose from the author, not just filling up space in the book so he could, you know, make a 100-page book instead of a 25-page book. You know, but it's characterization. It's the real meaning behind the story. And so that's what, it's the same thing with Harmony. The real meaning is where it's coming from and where it's taking you to. So, for example, the last two chords is the turnaround chord. They're turning us back around to another chorus of F minor. Okay,
we haven't done. I don't know what a turnaround is. I mean, I hear it all.
Wait,
the time.
What is a turnaround? Did you just say you don't know what it is, or
yeah,
you do?
Yeah, not quite. Well,
just take a stab at it. Take a stab at it. What does it mean?
Well, it's something that somehow leads you into starting the back to the top. But.
Yeah, and why do you think those are in parentheses? I think you guys know this, right?
I don't know why they're in parentheses.
Okay.
You're not going to play them the very last time.
Correct. And the very last time of the tune, you play A flat to this end, because that's the key, and you want to resolve. Never mind that people do the Charlie Parker thing at the very end of the song. But without that stuff, you would end on A flat. And so that means that every single time you're going around again to F minor, you stick a 2-5 of F minor. I just told you what it was. The 2-5 of F minor is G to C to F. Right? There's two ways to analyze that. The 2-6 and the 5-6, which is what they do in the music school. You would actually write 2/6 and 5/6. You probably haven't seen that before. So like underneath the G half diminished, you could put 2/6, and then underneath the C7, you could put 5/6. It's 2/5 of 6. Or if that's too complicated and you don't like that, you just put 7 and 3 dominant. Because in the key of A flat, G half diminished is the 7 and C7 is the 3 dominant. You following that, Mitch?
What the heck are you talking about?
Alright, so you're going to F minor. You're going to F minor, and that's a 2-5 of it.
Oh, not the key of F minor, but the chord of F minor.
So you could analyze that as a 2-5 of the 6 chord, which is where we're going. And the notation would be 2/6.
2-5 of the 6 chord.
The 2-5 of the F minor chord, which happens to be 6 in this
key. Right, there's 6. See it?
Here's a question. I thought I heard you just say that some people play the intro at the end.
Yeah, they do.
So what's the last chord of the song?
It's unresolved. You know, C7, that would be unresolved. But 99% of the time, that he's right, that A flat would be the last chord.
So the D flat, chon, ka-da-da, chon, ka-da-da, D flat, ka-da-da, C, nothing?
Nothing, correct. It's unresolved.
Cool.
And Charlie Parker set it up that way, and now it's become the way to play it, but the composer never intended for that. But,
it's all good. Jerome Kern, I don't know if he was into unresolved.
Or Mr. Hammerstein.
Yeah.
That's not a song! You're taking what I wrote and destroying it, these young whippersnappers.
A lot of songs.
So that's one way to do it. And then the other way to do it is just to call it a 7 and 3/4 dominant. You could call the G half diminished a 7 in the key of A flat, and a C7 with a 3 dominant, whatever you like better. All right, let's move on, you guys. I want to finish this so we can start playing. D flat. All right, let's look at the second to last system. D flat major goes to G flat 7.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just call it a flat 7 dominant. In the key of A flat, the 7 is G, the flat 7 is G flat, and the chord quality is dominant. So just like Unglorious